This week on the Analog Assault Podcast, episode 120, we're talking about Anthem Game Anniversary, new Destiny content, and of course, WandaVision, so let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
Welcome, guys, to another episode of the Analog Assault Podcast. We got all the cool cats here with us. We got Rad, we got Scarecrow, we got Lupo, and sitting in for Mr. Prime Time, we got Nate Johns. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's up? How's it going? Also, don't worry, Fake, you will not spoil me. I've already been spoiled. It's
fine. So before we get into this week's episode, a little housekeeping as always. Guys, if you like the podcast, you like the content, then consider hitting that follow or sub button right here on Twitch. And if you want to watch us live, you can watch us live on twitch.tv/Mulehorn Gaming every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. You like Star Wars, you like TikTok and stupid goofy videos, then check out Mulehorn Gaming's TikTok page because, yeah, like today's one was I was doing some shoulder thing. Yeah. So it was fun. Also, if you want to use the creator code on the Epic Store, Mulehorn minus sign gaming, you can help support the mules there. So, guys, what you been playing? What you been doing?
You want to start, Crow? I feel like I always go last. I was about to start. So I'm like,
You go first this time.
Okay,
you go
first this time. So, for me, it's nothing new for me personally. New content in Destiny, obviously, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Been playing a lot of Genshin Impact because this week, so we didn't really discuss it much last week. There was a new update in Genshin last week, the 1.3 update. The most important thing for me that they added into the game was they added controller support on mobile. So I went out and bought a Xbox controller for my phone. I've been literally playing in the break room,
nice.
Catch up on my daily Genshin grind. And it's like the perfect supplement to like my regular gaming. Like, you know, I feel like at times I don't want to play Genshin when I'm gaming at home. So this gives me the opportunity to do my daily still and not feel forced to play Genshin every day at night, you know. So it's been really awesome just to be able to do that, you know, for like an hour, half hour on my lunch break.
What's your ping like when you're doing that though?
Surprisingly enough, it's less than 40 most times.
Wow, on mobile.
Your mobile ping is better than my PC ping.
Yeah, as long as I log into the store's Wi-Fi, then we're fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. I don't like if it's on cellular. I got to 999. Four nines, 999. So I was like mid event, and
that's
like it does like 70% of it, and then jumps like way up, like way high. Can't damage anything. Can't switch characters. I was like, all right, I did something wrong here. So, I had to log into the store's Wi-Fi to be able to play pretty consistently. But like, lost track of time today. Stayed like an extra 15 minutes on lunch. So I was like, whatever. It is what it is.
No one knows.
And surprisingly enough, despite me saying I wasn't going to do it, my wife convinced me to start watching WandaVision. So I've watched two episodes of WandaVision. So far.
You're getting into it a little bit.
Lupo's watching it. I'm getting spoiled.
I wanted to hold off. I was like, this is like a binge-worthy show. You know, I just want to watch the entire thing. But my wife was like, you know what? This seems kind of interesting. We this past weekend we celebrated our 6-year anniversary. We kind of just went away for the weekend and we watched movies. We just hung out together and watched movies with Kevin Smith. Like they had like a Kevin Smith marathon, so we watched like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Chasing Amy, and it was a really good time. It was like nice to just not do anything, honestly. Like not have to be anywhere, not have to worry about being a parent for a couple of hours. So that's what we did. We watched movies, and you know, now it's going to become a thing where we just kind of watch movies together. Like we're so independent, like when we're not together, you know, so it's nice to have like something to do specifically for ourselves
together. Yeah, nice, man.
That's really nice, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, no one else jump out. Everyone's like,
I didn't know if Lupo was
no,
dead.
No, I'm good. I wouldn't have taken a drink if I was
Rad being all nice. And...
I interrupt Lupo a lot.
Considering that conversation we had before the cast started, ooh, Surprised she's such a good person.
Listen, I'm a terror. I was not a great kid. but that's a story for another time. But Crow, I know you were going to go. Did you want to go?
Yeah, so basically my week has been the same as Lupo's been playing a lot of Genshin, a lot of Destiny. Not quite as much Destiny, but a lot of Genshin. Really enjoying this event. They added a thing to the event. It's kind of like almost like you're playing tower defense
yeah.
match, and you can play it co-op too. So you have to set up your defenses to guard against waves. It's only been the first day that I've actually done it. We did it a little bit last night, so it wasn't like super difficult, but we had fun with that. You can't actually like, you can run around the maps as your characters, but you can't actually hurt the enemies, but you can apply status effects. So say, you've got a bunch of enemies that are going to be coming out. They'll tell you like what the next wave in general was going to have on the next wave. There's a few enemies that are like these big guys with like big centurion type shields. And, they're hard to damage because unless you take out that shield. So if you don't have a character, the turrets and stuff can't actually damage those shields really well. So you need to have a character that can at least do that and help apply the statuses and take out those shields. But other than that, you can't really do anything yourself. So you're just standing around hoping for the turrets to work. Other than that, Destiny, new content. We're going to talk about that. Little PSO2 started a new anime, well, old anime, but new watching for me, Log Horizon, which was recommended to me. I know Lupo and I have talked about it a little bit, that it's kind of one of those isekais, like top isekais to watch. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure other people have suggested to me, but started that today. Watched the first episode. Interesting concept. Now that SAO's over, at least for now, I had to find something to fill that void. But also, first episode of season 2 of Dr. Stone came out today. I think it was today. Either today or last night. Yeah, it was today. Really enjoyed that. I really like that show. It's got a lot of science and real world stuff in it that the guy builds. And just, it hits all the notes for me for the science stuff. Like, I love that kind of thing. What else? WandaVision. WandaVision was good this week. And I can't wait to see what it's like tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on, right on.
I think that's about it.
Rad.
Right. Oh, and actually, I know it came out a while ago, but I completely forgot to watch it. But I finally started the part 2 of the Transformers series on Netflix that Thaddeus was raving about. And boy, it's pretty good so far. But that's kind of been my week. Other than that, I've been working a lot.
Very nice. Cool. So last week on Friday night, I got lit on 4 beers and played Warzone. Like, really terribly.
Who are you?
I don't know. But it was fun. It was super fun. And then my husband and I know Crow, are still working through Futurama. But we are now on the last of the 4 movies, which is Into the Wild Green Yonder. So we're watching the episode with the feminista environmental ladies who are like trying to protect the universe from being destroyed by Amy Wong's dad. So it's very funny. My husband and I are super enjoying it. There are just such clever jokes in Futurama. I strongly suggest everybody going back and rewatching it. Definitely been playing Destiny for sure. I was able to log on at the launch of the new season, and I just sort of like jumped in, and I like some of the stuff. I'm kind of like meh about some of the other stuff, but mostly I think it's positive. Of course, it's only been a couple days, so I'm looking forward to talking about that in just a few minutes, or whenever we end up doing that. And then I was going to say, oh, so something cool that I've been doing, some members of my community And I started last night, we started a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. We're doing some of that. And last year I had a campaign going with some other people that I know, and we weren't able to complete it or do very much of it. We did it for a couple months, but I really enjoyed the character that I made. So I kind of like gently voluntold somebody in my community to be a DM. And then we got this campaign together so I could bring this character back. So it was really fun. It's a very, very nice group. A lot of different like unique characters that we've brought together. And it started off with a bang. We were like on a train, you know, like all randomly on a train together. And then the DM was like, okay, so the train's on fire and there's a dragon on top of it. And we were like, all right, let's do this. It was super, super fun. It was really, really fun. So we're doing that. Fake says, Rad, I'm almost done with season 2 of Lost. Show is just as good and confusing as I remember. I need to do a rewatch of Lost. I love Lost. And then last but not least, I'm saying this for, I think that the bigger sports peeps, well, we're all sports peeps here in the podcast. It's a great, great year to be a Tampa Bay fan of almost anything. Way to go, Bucks. You guys know, many of you know, I'm actually, my number one team is a Bills fan, but I am in the Tampa Bay area. So go Bucks, baby. That's phenomenal. Whether you like Brady or not, that's a huge accomplishment. And nobody does a championship parade quite like Tampa Bay. So the Lightning did a boat parade and the Stanley Cup was just like clinging to its life, not falling in the water. I saw that earlier. I think it was from you. And Tom Brady is throwing the Lombardi trophy from one boat to another, and then he's getting like lit on avocado tequila. So nobody does it quite like Tampa Bay. So GG's. I think that's it for me. I played a little bit more ReCore, not really that much, but a little bit more. I'm going to pass it over to Nate.
Well, I actually haven't played much recently. Past couple of weeks been just kind of watching stuff, restarted watching Pushing Daisies, which if you've never seen that show, it's so much fun. Like just the cadence of that show, and it's just a lot of fun. It was on ABC for a couple seasons, originally supposed to be a spinoff of Dead Like Me, if you've ever seen that.
No,
both good shows. Highly recommend Pushing Daisies. Basically the premise is the pie maker Ned, who's played by Lee Pace, he's been in a few things, like he was, which Marvel was he in? Was he in Guardians or Thor? I think Guardians.
I thought he was in Thor.
Maybe he's in Thor. Either one of those.
Chase was also in, I think, one of the Lord of the Rings movies, too.
Yes.
He was the snooty elf.
I think he was in The Hobbit.
He was the snooty elf in The Hobbit.
But he's able to bring people back to life by touching them. But if he doesn't, and if he touches them again, they're dead forever. And if he doesn't touch them, like, make them dead again within a minute, someone else dies. So they solve mysteries by bringing the victims back to life and trying to figure out what happened. But it's very fun. It's hilarious too.
Pushing Daisies is Showtime, right? Like they did the show.
Pushing Daisies was actually ABC. Dead Like Me was Showtime. And that's the one with the Grim Reapers.
I feel like Pushing Daisies was like the same time as like Weeds also, like, because Weeds was very good. And I thought I remember seeing like commercials for Pushing Daisies during Weeds. I could be wrong, though.
I watched so much TV over the last,
I think they were in the right around
the same time. I do think they were at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like 2007, 2008, something like that.
Yeah.
But that show was just hilarious.
Rayman got it. 6 Feet Under. Thank you, Rayman, in the chat.
There we go. Yeah, and it's on HBO Max, so it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't seen it. Need something a little bit lighter and fun. It's, 45 minutes. Other than that, also watching Friends, just because it's been a long time, and that's just an entertaining show and a good background noise for that one.
You can never watch too much Friends.
Right.
So which
I beg to differ, but I'll agree to disagree.
Which character are you? Who do you resonate with? Come on, there's 6 of them.
It's probably a mix of a few of them. Okay, little fair. Ross, little Chandler.
Okay, I can see that.
Joey doesn't share food.
There's a little bit of that too. A little bit of that too.
So you're just all the boys.
Yeah, for the most part.
Fair enough. Cool.
But
right on.
Yeah.
Yo, what have you been up to, man? Oh, sorry.
I played one thing. You know, I actually checked out Falconeer, which is on Game Pass today. And it was actually kind of fun. You fly as a falcon, but I'm terrible at those flight games and combat, but it was kind of fun just cruising around, interesting style, little Sea of Thieves-ish animation style. So,
I'd seen that that had been added to Game Pass, but I had no idea what it was. I just saw the list, and I was like, I wonder what this is. Kind of reminded
me, checking out
it, the just the title and what I had seen of the images is like reminded me of that VR Eagle Flight thing.
Yeah,
it was called Eagle Flight, like, I think.
When, yeah. Very clean, though.
Mule, what about you?
Oh, man. I've been playing.
What is it you're playing right now?
Witcher 3.
Cyberpunk. He's not playing Cyberpunk.
I'm not playing Cyberpunk. I'm not playing Witcher 3.
That's for damn sure.
I've been playing a lot of Star Wars Battlefront 2 because it's been like work has been insane because it's like the busy time of year for me. And I feel like when I get off work, I've been talked to death. Like after meetings, emails, calls, all that stuff. And I'm just like, I want to numb my mind and just shoot stuff. So I've been playing a lot of Battlefront. I have not got a chance this week to play SOTOR. I did play quite a bit of Apex this week. Quite a bit of Apex with the dad who's in chat.
Yeah, I saw you on there quite a bit. I'd be like, dude, oh, hey, Meal's on. What's he doing? Playing Apex.
We had some pretty good games. We had this one game where the dad was Jibby and I was Octane. He threw his ult on like, I can't remember what it was called, but he threw his ult where like these three guys were and there's only two teams left and one was kind of waiting for us to third party us. And he ulted them and then we used my jump pad. And now with the jump pad, I don't know if you've played recently, but you can go over 100 meters with that jump pad. Like it's insane how far it launches you.
Football field?
Dude, it's crazy. And so we like launched up there, finished those guys off, and then they had to come and take us. And if anyone knows anything about Obi-Wan Kenobi and how I play video games, we had the high ground. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
I do know that.
Yeah, we won, and it's been some really fun. I like the new event, the birthday event, where you just spawn in with some weapons and armor. Makes the game very fast paced. But other than that, man. Not too much. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've really jumped into. Even shows, the wife and I started watching some of the Marvel shows again because like WandaVision has made us like want to go back and look at stuff. And you know what? I was watching Civil War and I have this thought. Maybe I'll just say it now. We can talk about it at WandaVision too. But there's a moment, you know, in Civil War when Cap is talking to Iron Man about like signing the accords, right? And they have Bucky in like the little cage or whatever. And Cap says this, like he says, you know, when I see something pointed south, I wish I could just kind of like not do anything. And Iron Man says, no, you don't. And then Cap says, no, I don't. And it made me think, like, how could he be out of character? Because if he goes back in time, right, to be with Peggy, he's going to see stuff and he's going to want to go help. So do you think the reason we have the multiverse is because Cap did something he wasn't supposed to do? Like he actually intervened?
I think a lot of people probably did things they weren't supposed to do. Because everyone doesn't like, I think everyone's a meddler, you know, a little bit in their own mind.
Yeah.
Just for starters, Loki got loose.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to deal with that in his show. Yep. We're going to see all what happens there.
Yeah.
Who knows all what happened? I mean, in the film, we see Tony talking with his dad.
Yep.
And going completely off the plan. So who knows what everyone else did?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, though. I don't know. I think that we're going to for sure see probably Cap back in action. After I watched that, I was like, dude, there's no way he's gonna sit on the sideline. Like he's gonna do something.
I think it's getting the rights for him to play it and stuff like that. Like just signing him on for additional.
It's gonna be hard
because as much as people like say like you know what they're making so much money with these movies like, there's reasons why Robert Downey Jr. doesn't have a TV show, you know, besides the fact that, you know, the character is what it is at this point, you know, like,
yeah,
it's tough to sign that caliber of an actor into a syndicated TV show. You know, like Anthony Mackie was good as the Falcon, but I don't think he's not like on the level of, you know, Robert Downey Jr., you know?
Yeah.
And speaking of Falcon, it's going to be hard to at least do another Cap movie just because they're doing Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And so, like, they'd have to, like, backtrack, which they could because it is going back in time, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it looks like from the... We'll talk about this when we get to WandaVision. I'm going to go into spiraling stories there. But let's hit our first topic for tonight, guys. And that's one that I think is pretty near and dear to Scarecrow, Lupo, and my heart, because we kind of got to know each other a lot better. Rad, I don't think she really cares.
I'm not going to say anything.
And that's Anthem. Anthem was in the news, as you guys know. The anniversary is, Lupo thankfully told me, because I could not remember before the cast. February 22nd. There's news that they could be on the axing block. So, guys, what do you think's going to happen? What are your feelings with all this? You think they might keep going? What do you think?
I'll take the lead here.
Go ahead, yeah.
I think like, and I don't think there's anyone in our community that would want this game to succeed or even continue on in the future more than myself. I just think like we just have to set ourselves up for the worst at this point. Like, just assume that everything's going to go bad, and if something happens, then it's good. You know, like, Anthem was a huge part of my success as a content creator. Like, you know, we started the Anthem web show in 2018, ran that through launch and beyond, you know, got really, really heavily involved with the community at large, you know, the Freelancer Codex podcast, Your Anthem, Anthem Insider, Anthem Universe, all of those people, like, all of us have been interconnected with those people, you know, and like, that's like the greater Anthem community at this point, you know, and it's just, it was a wild ride. I can't even like put my hands on like how surreal of an experience like that whole road to launch was, you know, but like now here we are, like, looking back at it. I've put 500 hours into Anthem. Ooh, and I can say that if the game is done and there's not gonna be anything else, that I'm okay with that. I can live with it, as much as like there's a lot of untapped potential, and I think that if they do everything right, this could be a game that could exist for like the next 5 to 10 years without question. I just think there's I don't think there'll be enough right now to show EA or the executives at EA that they're ready to move on and give something more tangible that would like influence them to allocate more resources for the project. Seeing that there's been such a great reception for, you know, the new Dragon Age, there's been an even greater reception for Mass Effect Legendary and the new Mass Effect chapter. So I think honestly, like, you just have to cut your losses, and I hate saying that, but I think we're just at that point right now.
Yeah, you know, Mule, you know, called me out because I never played Anthem. Lupo would probably tell me that my distaste for Anthem is not correct and comes from the wrong place. But I never played it. It was not something I wanted to play for a real petty reason.
Let me ask you, what is the reason?
I was probably poorly misinformed that BioWare's resources went into making Anthem, and then that took away from Andromeda.
Well, and that's not true, because Andromeda was supposed to be a complete thing. There was no DLC plan for Andromeda.
No, I know. I'm saying the product of Andromeda. The top team went to Anthem, which is fine. Yeah. And took away from Andromeda. I'm not even talking about DLC. I'm not salty about the DLC.
Sounds like you got your information from a salty person on Andromeda.
I probably came up with it by myself and just stuck to it.
I mean, there's definitely truth in it, though. Like, a lot of people from like the original teams were on Anthem, and it was like, it was basically like a thing that was spitballed from, like, basically like they were wrapping up Citadel.
Sure.
And then they're like, oh, well, we've got this cool idea, you know, and then that it kind of just rolled into its own thing, you know?
Right. And so what I was going to say was whether my opinion, it's an opinion, so it doesn't actually matter. That what happened was Anthem was made. My opinion was I didn't want to support this because I felt like I wanted the top team to be on Mass Effect because I'm biased and I love Mass Effect. But what I was going to say was when I hear something like Anthem potentially, you know, ending, I also feel a similar, like, that makes me feel not sad. I don't want to use the word sad, but that makes me feel like disappointed on your behalf, Lupo, because I know that it's such like a, you know, it's an important piece of your story. So for me, I'm like, I don't really care what happens to Anthem. I don't have any stock in Anthem, but I do, you know, if Mass Effect was like never coming back, I didn't even make content about Mass Effect, but Mass Effect's such like a big piece of my story that it would be very disappointing. So that's what I was going to say was, for me, I don't really care what happens, but I do value that you guys who have put so much time into it are having, you know, this kind of reaction to it.
Yeah. What do you think, Crow?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Crow.
My side is that I want it to continue. I want the quote unquote Anthem 2.0. I love the game. I love the way it worked. I see the potential there. It's just, can they do it? It has been 2 years. It'll be 2 years basically next week since the game came out. And we have not played it in over a year now.
Yeah.
Which sucks because we played that every couple days, like first couple months, it was almost every night. It took place of Destiny for us for a while. And I love that universe with the crap, that, like all the bugs and all the shit and everything. It was still a good game. It was still an enjoyable game. I love the mechanic, like I've never played another game that had such amazing like ground to flight mechanics.
Yeah.
And it just felt good. Like I started playing it off the back of playing a lot of Warframe, which they tried to do flight mechanics and stuff in that and just were never good. And then Anthem comes along and it's just like, perfect butter. And I would love to see more of that. Sometimes I wish Destiny had some more stuff like that. But that's just that's not going to happen. I don't really know what, but at the same time, like, yes, I want it to go, but it's been 2 years since the game launched. It's been over a year since they've actually put out anything technically new, and they've just been recycling the old stuff, all the old cosmetics, all the old event stuff. And guess at least they're still doing that. They're still putting rotating stuff in and out, so they're still running it, which is good in a way. But for someone like me who, and Lupo, who put a lot into this game at first and were really hyped about it, it's kind of like, in my situation, I'm like, I would be okay if, like, I'm not going to shed tears if they decide not to go forward.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nate, what were you going to say?
I was like, I played it not as much as you guys did, but I definitely played it and enjoyed it. Although on an original Xbox, it was a little slow, especially loading in when
even the Series X, even the Series X sometimes.
The One X.
Yeah. I should try it on the Series X at some point, just see how much faster it loads in if it's playable. But, you know, like you guys were saying, it's basically been dead for probably about a year. Yeah. And the fact that they have this meeting to determine its fate is not a good sign. Yeah. I mean, So it's, I think,
probably just
that Schreier's got a good track record. That's what the only reason why I'm investing into that that rumor is that Schreier's got such a great track record with the information. If if it wasn't the case, I'd just be like, I'd brush it off like I did with Jeff Grubb.
Now, part of me wonders if they leaked that to get this groundswell of people saying they loved Anthem, even though they're not currently playing it.
Well, apparently there's a massive resurgence of players because it's on Game Pass now. So, like, Xbox has a pretty healthy player base at the moment.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
And honestly, like, that's the thing with Anthem, is that if you could take every bad thing you've heard about Anthem, if you could play the game for free or super duper cheap, you'd still enjoy it. I would even close to guarantee that.
Yeah,
because the combat's very fun. Like it's a lot to invest into if after everything has already happened. But if you can play it for free, like people are playing it right now on Game Pass for nothing, you know, it's included with their subscription. It's a lot of fun. But for someone like me that wants to, like, I want to live in a game. You know, I keep talking about my forever game, and I want my forever game. Yeah. And I can't. This is not it right now. You know, and it pains me, because I know that they're better at world building. I know that they can do better with like life cycles of a game, because those exist in games like Mass Effect Andromeda. You know, has a great world. SWTOR has had years and years and years of development. Like, I understand they have a licensed IP with SWTOR, so it's a little bit different, but still, they have the ability to do everything they need to do to make it succeed. It's just, I don't know, like, you know, I'm sure, like, this whole story of, like, the BioWare magic and cutting development time and scrapping things and all this, I'm sure that's all true. And that's probably the reason why we have the shell of a game that we really should have. But
and the question will be, will they invest enough to fix it? How much is it going to take to fix it? It may be, there could be a presentation. Here are all the ideas we have. Here's what it'll be. Here's how much it's going to cost. Will EA buy in?
Yeah.
See, that is where we're at right now.
I think Lupo's point about, like, BioWare is now also working on these other things that people are potentially more excited about. So they're going to know that their money is going to be made from doing the things they're really good at. So is it worth it for them to also allocate resources into bettering something that they are not so sure about?
Yeah.
Because I think what the big thing is now, because now that Christian is the game director for Dragon Age, that's also where Anthem is. Like, the 30 or some odd people that are working on Anthem at the moment are there. So why not take those resources and just reallocate them to Dragon Age, because that is the next game on their plate, technically.
Correct.
You know, so I think that's where we're drawing the line right now. It's, do we continue development with Anthem 2.0 and put more resources to it? Or do we take the current resources that we have and put that towards Dragon Age, a game that should be out later this year or next year, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't, like, I think at absolute soonest, if you even, reallocate more resources to Anthem 2.0, we don't see it until the absolute soonest next spring.
Yeah. And is there anything they can pull from mechanics or anything from Anthem that they could put in their other games? Maybe we fly through magic with Dragon Age, or you fly somehow in Mass Effect.
You're definitely going to see them. I mean,
it's basically going to be a Mass Effect.
I mean, we
Andromeda was practically, like, not, it's a beta, because, like, I don't want to say that, because I loved very Andromeda. Similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Will they take that to the next step where it's a lot more flight as opposed to more jumping with
jetpacks? I'm sure jetpacks. They will. Yeah.
The particle effects in Anthem were crazy. The combos, like, I loved it. Like, so I'm looking, like I said, if it ends this month, as long as like, I'm not the biggest Dragon Age fan, I will probably play it a little bit, but as long as the Mass Effect slaps, like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, I have to echo what you guys said, and, you know, the reason why I loved it so much is because it felt a lot like Mass Effect, multiplayer and things like that, the movement and everything like that. The flying was phenomenal. And you guys know me as a pretty optimistic guy, right? So I really wish I could say that I think it's going to continue, but I really don't think it's going to continue. Reason I say that is because Christian is gone. He's over on Dragon Age, right? He's out of there. Yeah. I look at some of the devs that I've met. That would be Jesse. He's completely off of it. He's like the head of community interaction or whatever with community managers and the community of EA. Mm-hmm. AJ isn't even on Anthem anymore. He's on Star Wars and other things. Who was one of those were the two main community managers. The new community manager that they brought in, Caden, I mean, he hasn't really interacted with any of us game changers. And then when you look at his profile on Twitter, he doesn't even have Anthem in his profile as a community manager for Anthem. He's just a general community manager for BioWare. So,
well, like, to that defense, though, they don't have one specifically for Dragon Age. They don't have one specifically for Mass Effect,
but
you know?
He
so
was specifically hired for Anthem.
Yeah.
So it's like, to me, what that says is we hired you here because we had a plan for Anthem. Oh, wait, maybe that plan's not going to work out. So we'll just make you, you can cover these games since, you know, BioWare has all these other games. And for me, I think if you're a community manager, you'll put in your profile who you're managing because it's kind of your job and it's important for you. And for me, seeing that, maybe I'm looking into it too much or whatever. You can say, Mule, you got your tinfoil hat on or whatever. But to me, when I see that it just says BioWare, that means they probably reallocated him to cover Mass Effect and Dragon Age and other things like that. And it's just weird. It's just odd. It strikes me as odd because every other community manager that I watch or I follow, they have this specific game in their profile. Like Deej would say, community manager for Destiny or whatever when he was there. But I don't know, man. I'm hoping for the best. I really do because I think it was some of the best content or best combat that I've had in a long time. And it just felt so good because of the combos like Mass Effect 3 that you could do and just explosions everywhere. The story wasn't horrible. It was actually pretty good. It just didn't get supported on for more story. But I don't know, guys. I mean, I hope. So, all right. So this part, go ahead, Lupo.
No, I was just gonna say like, I'm expecting the worst and if something better happens then I'm okay. I think that's the best way to look at it right there. As crappy of an outlook as that is, it's probably the best.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this podcast on Monday, we may already have the news. Who knows?
For all we know.
So next up, I'm actually handing this off, the hosting duties, to Lupo and Rad. Okay, guys, y'all go ahead. Destiny, right?
Good night, Mule. So, I think what we really want to talk about, just at least a little bit, the new season of The Chosen, launched in Destiny this week. This is now the 11th season of, like, their seasonal model.
13th.
Well, they say 13 because, like, you know, that's Osiris as well. But, like, when you, like, figure, like, the real, like, every quarter we're getting new content. So, like, this is the 9th.
Like 10.
It would be, like, 9 or 10. So, yeah. Personally, like I really like this. A lot of people really love like the one time a year, get that nice, real chunky content. I like this. Like sometimes just having more Destiny is enough to get by. I think there are some shortcomings with that similar model. You know, we'll talk about that in a second. And it's probably the reason why Mule's not playing as much anymore. as he laughs from like the other side of the room, but like let's first we'll talk about the story of like where we got like what brought us to where we are right now. So we were invaded by the Black Fleet or the Pyramid Ships over the course of the last year. So from Shadowkeep on, that's kind of like what the overarching story was for the last year. In Beyond Light, I'm trying to like remember every single expansion season. Beyond Light. We were introduced to, you know, this Zivu or Wrath story, you know, and that was kind of perpetuated by Osiris and the Crow. So now everything is coming to a head. We're being oppressed by multiple different fronts now. And now Kallus's daughter, Keitel, shows up at our door and says, things are all messed up here. We should form an alliance. And Zavala tells her, GFY, you know, basically like... With lack of better words, he basically just said no. You know, he's like, we're not going to do that. You know, we've been fighting everything and anything over the last however many years of Destiny, and we have stood in the face of adversity and overcome it. So that's where we're at now.
She didn't want to just align. She wants to Alexander the Great us.
Yeah, she wanted to inscribe
Guardians into her army.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So Zavala says, heck no. You
have
don't.
A metaphorical seat on her council.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could probably sit on her tusk, but, like, that's a separate thing. So, because they're long and I'm small. So, So that's kind of the story right now.
So what kind of new activities are we doing this season, Red?
So we're doing something new called Battlegrounds, which is essentially it's a three-player matchmade activity. You can go in with a group, or you can get matchmade to other randos who don't have friends. And I'm just kidding. And you go into this really cool area of like already existing locations. So one location so far is on Nessus, and the other location is on Europa. And they're like mini missions, kind of. So you have like different, oh my gosh, what is the word?
Objectives.
Thank you. It's different objectives that you have to complete. This is happening to me with clients today. They were like, "Do you know what you're doing?" No. There's different objectives that you have to complete. Where and then, you know, that's how you like move the activity along, and then you get to a boss fight at the end. But the whole point of it is you're kind of like pushing back the Cabal defenses. They're trying to take over, you know, this planet, wherever they are. I happen to think they're going to add more battlegrounds locations as we go through the season.
They are.
Yeah. And you get loot at the end. So that's kind of what Battlegrounds is. I really like it. I don't know if we're jumping into opinions of it. I really like it. I think it's a lot of fun. And that's just a snapshot of the new activity. Did you want to break it down and discuss it, or you want to go through everything?
No, I first, like, me and Crow were playing on Tuesday night, and the first thing I said to Crow is, "I wish this was harder." Like,
Well, go ahead.
I just like, and I think they're just trying to make things accessible to people coming back, which I completely understand.
Sure.
I think that's a good thing. You know, like they've upped the light floor again. You know, like it was 1060, it was 750 for the last season, you know, so people could kind of catch up a little bit faster. And then they upped it to 1060. Now, basically, for every season, they're going to bring it up to like the previous year's cap. So now we're at 1100 now. So it's a little bit easier to catch up. So I think the activity is like somewhere 1180 or something like that, Crow. I think we're looking at it.
I don't
Yeah,
know.
it's not that bad at all.
I do know,
At
though,
least right now.
when you load into the playlist, it's a little bit harder, which is good. So that makes me believe that there's going to be
Yeah, the playlist ones are
they're
higher, a
harder.
little bit higher
Yeah. So
difficulty.
I think they're going to add more locations. They're going to make them harder. They're, in my opinion, 100% better than the Wrathborn hunts, which were from
Oh,
last
yeah.
season. It's a nice step up.
And
It's a little more challenging.
for all we know, there could be they could add in like a heroic version.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that much harder. But you were kind of on the path, Rad, but like the lore reason what these things are is that these are Red Legion, a lot of Red Legion commanders and stuff that are trying to gather favor with Keitel by doing these things that is part of their tradition, is like they have to go conquer areas, or and if anyone challenges them, they have to take on the challenge or they will lose all right to like try to gain favor with Keitel.
Well, lucky for them, they'll be losing all favor every time.
Yep.
But yeah,
So
so
that's why it's
that's
called
kind of
Proving Ground. So,
exactly. So that's the new activity.
and
So
yeah, they
I
also kind of remind me of Halo Firefight in a way, but more of rather the enemies coming to you, you're traveling to them.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that for someone, if you are a player who, let's say, has like zero finesse and all you do is just like run in with your bald head and your salt and pepper beard and you like take out a grenade launcher and you like to like kill a bunch of things at once, this is an ideal activity for somebody who likes to play that way. So you know, it just if you ever like get the inkling or the interest to like hop back in, this might be the type of activity
They
for
don't
you.
care about PvP, so I'm not coming back. Sorry.
Okay.
I mean, if
That's
they would
fine.
put a little effort into it,
Yeah,
for
I mean,
me,
that's
I
what.
mean, for me personally, I've always thought the thing that carried Destiny through the dry spells was PvP and trials. I always thought it was that. And I feel like PvP is just a thing that they wish they could get rid of now, but they can't because they have some hardcore groups that still play it. And honestly, man, it looks cool. Like the Destiny always makes their new stuff look really cool. They always have really cool armor. They do a really good job of marketing it. But I feel like it's just more of the same. So I need y'all to sell me. Why should I keep playing or trying to invest in the game?
Well,
I
I told you this 2 seasons ago that I am not gonna do that anymore
I'm
because
not going to tell you.
there's so many quality games to play that like why not waste your time, but why are you going to focus efforts on something that you're not fully into? You know, yeah. Like it's the same thing. Like when you try to get me to play Apex, like I enjoy Apex when I play it, but like, if I don't play it, I can't get better, you know? And I don't want to, that's not the level of effort I want to put into it. Like, don't get me wrong. Like every time we play, we get wins, we have a good laugh and it's fun. But if I want to contribute to our team, I have to play more. And I just can't do that because I play much Destiny, you know, like that's just what happens.
Mm-hmm. We got Trax to play with this, so sorry, Trax.
Just to per usual piggyback off Lupo, like that's why when I'm like, you know, I'm throwing a joke around, like, you know, just trying to rag on you, but the response is like, well, you know, that they don't do anything with Crucible. Like, I'm not even going to argue that because they don't. You know, when I come on here, I talk a lot about playing PvE. You know, Crow, Lupo, and Dog, and whoever else is around that weekend. We're raiding every weekend, and I talk about that a lot. I'm a huge PvP player. I play PvP a lot. I have a lot of time spent in PvP, and it's garbage. It's terrible. It's you know, I enjoy it for like a period of time. I enjoy it. One of my very good friends, our friend Volcasmic, some of you guys know, I play with her a lot. She and I are very good at Crucible, but they're not doing anything to make it better. So like me, like answering that question to try and get you to like come back, I can't, because they're not treating Crucible well. That doesn't mean they won't. Right now, their focus is on PvE. And in my opinion, despite being a huge PvP player, it should be on PvE. PvE is the best part of Destiny. It is the best part of Destiny. There's nothing better than PvE. It's not a player versus player game. And that has, quite frankly, never been, in my opinion, what has carried Destiny through dry spells. It has been the really good PvE content, even when it gets old.
Yeah, so. Well, yeah, I would agree with that on one hand. Like, Destiny 1 was, like, the dry spells were completely carried by PvP.
I'll give you that. 100%.
Destiny 2, they've been trying to add more and more content. Or at least, like, the one thing that they're doing much better now is carrying a narrative over the course of an entire season. You don't get like that one thing and then that's it. You know, like House of Wolves, you got all your story and then you're waiting till September when the new expansion drops. You know, so like I think they just have a different focus. The problem is that like Destiny 2 made so many changes initially to support the PvP community, and they've basically abandoned it since. And it's such a shame, because when Destiny 2 PvP is good, it is really good. You know, and even fun. Even in year two, I think year two PvP felt pretty good. It was not, I wouldn't say it was as good as like Destiny 1, year one and two. But it came pretty close. I played a lot of PvP in Destiny 2 year two. But since then, it just does not hold up anymore.
Well, I think that some of the changes that they made to Destiny 2 from Destiny 1, I remember like, okay, I'm really excited. I was getting pretty good at Crucible at the end of Destiny 1. I was not always very good. I got pretty good at it. And then like just some of the changes they made to Destiny, even like with the UI and like taking certain playlists out, like I realized like, fine, you can take Rift out and I never have to play Rift again. But like some
favorite
of
my game mode.
All right. Well, it wasn't my favorite game mode. So like you know, like they could, you know, whatever, but like I remember thinking to myself, something is not right about what they're doing to PvP. And I realized that some of it might've been to cater to higher level players than I certainly am. But I think one of the arguments that I hear a lot in the content that I listen to about the game is that the game will always be a balance between who are we catering to? Are we catering to the hardcore players, or are we catering to the casual players? Because it's very hard to put anything in the middle, because then nobody's going to be satisfied. So that's where a lot of the problems with PvP comes in, Mule, because you're a higher, believe it or not, I'm saying this, you're a higher level PvP player. So when you're experiencing something that's not being given love, it's hard to be like, well, they're not paying attention to any of me. This is my part of the game. Well, most of the people who are playing Destiny are playing PvE. So they're going to, it's just like with Anthem and BioWare. Most of the people are going to be playing Dragon Age and Mass Effect. So where are they going to allocate their resources to? And that's where Destiny 2 is at right now.
Yeah. That ego so boost, even, like Kirill said. Thank you for that ego boost.
Yeah. So
you're
like,
not welcome.
What I think they're trying to do is just like with this season, they're also bringing back two reprise strikes from the Cosmodrome, and I think that's another thing that they're trying to do to reel in the nostalgia a little bit, like try to win some of the favor back with nostalgia. And I don't think it's the greatest idea personally. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm gonna take content any way I can get it. Mm-hmm. But to try to basically rubbing salt in a wound for people that are not happy, you know, like I'm happy, I'm content with Destiny. If you give me more Destiny, I'm still gonna be happy. But if people have gone out of favor with Destiny, like yourself, Mule, bringing a little bit of nostalgia is not gonna put them back to the place where they want to be with Destiny. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I actually think that putting those strikes back in there is just continuing to cater to more hardcore players, because that's who they're trying to tug on it. You know, the new people. I saw a very funny meme that was like, you know, new Guardians who are excited to try Fallen Saber. You know, yay, it's a new strike. And then all the veterans were like, oh my god, I gotta do that Warmind at the beginning, like with all these modifiers, and it's gonna be terrible. But we're still gonna do it anyway. So like, you know, Destiny's in a very odd place. Like, this is a bigger conversation than just going over the seasonal stuff. But your answer to that, Mule, is like, you're absolutely right. I mean, they don't care about PvP right now. Yeah, they're like, Trials is tomorrow. Great. There's new armor. Great. It's not what PvP can give me. There's new guns in PvP this season. There's a new playlist weapon that we can get.
You can.
But two even. But I don't. They're not, it's not. Doesn't make it fun to play.
You've also got to remember, there's only so much you can do for PvP. It's a competitive mode. Like, if you add something new every time, then it's going to get crazy, and no one's going to want to touch it then.
Which is...
We're
towing that line right now.
Right.
Like, if you add too much, then only the hardcore top people are going to even touch it. The people who only play Destiny for that. If they just kept adding stuff more and more, I wouldn't touch it at all.
Yeah, there's too much. I mean, don't get me started on stasis. Like I said, that's a whole other conversation. So,
yeah. And I agree that it's a balancing act of catering to the casual versus hardcore. But I honestly think more lately, in the last few seasons, it has been more of a catering to the PvP versus the PvE.
I don't know if I agree with you there, because there's nothing for PvP.
Yeah, there's...
That's the thing, is that they're all catering... It's that balance, but they're all going to PvE.
Yeah, that's what I said before. Okay. Yeah.
Not as much as
you imply versus... You imply the reverse.
Yeah, I misunderstood you, but yeah, that's what I said before.
Anything to add to that? Any thoughts about Destiny?
Not really. I've played it maybe a couple hours since, you know, last fall, but... It just hasn't brought me back. Part of it is I've never liked the soft cap that they had, especially early on, where it's just frustrating. Once you get to that point, you're just not progressing and have to do very specific things. I think they've gotten better with that, but I
were
just
were you
haven't.
Ever for, forever 29?
Yes. No, I did not. Forever
29.
Not yeah, you 29. Were never. Okay.
I didn't.
I was going to say, like, I'd much rather have a soft cap than be forever 29.
Yeah, like I understand like your pain points.
Yeah,
I think it was much worse in D1. Much
but
more
only
worse
for the, but only for the first part of D1.
Yes, the first
by
the first
time,
year.
Like within even by the end of the first year, I want to say the second expansion was at House of Wolves. I think it was better though by then because I hit the level cap fairly.
Yeah,
easily
they adjusted drop rates. Yeah, in the second.
They also
the expansions.
They also made. Top level gear drop other places other than the raid, because
the
problem with Forever 29 was that the only place you could get top tier gear was the raid and Iron Banner,
right?
Not even Nightfalls, right?
Not even Nightfalls.
I don't think so. And
it was just
you could get some from Nightfalls, but it was like a once in a so often chance, and it was
once
like
a blue moon.
The only thing that was like higher was the exotic if you got the exotic to drop.
Right, cool. And the nice thing about exotics, you buy it from Zuri, you're already at the top.
Yeah, because it wasn't power levels
there
at
wasn't
that point.
The power level, yeah, right. It was a lot. You know, when you buy something from Zuri, it's as high as it can be.
Yeah,
which was also nice too.
Yeah,
or like you pull out a collection, all that.
That's back when we're dealing with 31 light,
right?
Not 1300 light is the cap now.
I tell you what, this is what would get me back: new exotics that are actually awesome.
They have this.
Yeah, no, that you don't have to worry about that. That's already in the game.
Yeah,
they already have you seen any exotics that I it just love. That I
have you seen this bow? Have you seen
the
this
bow? Oh, the bow. Tiku. Yeah, Tiku.
No, this isn't even
those.
A bow.
No, it's not a bow. It's a bow. I use it all the time. I am the biggest bow hater on the face of the planet, and I use it all the time now.
Imagine saying, "I wish there were some really cool exotics in the game," and then when like three people who play a shit, excuse my language, ton of Destiny are telling you that there's a great exotic, and you're like, no.
There's none Hawk that I Moon, like. Man. There's Hawk none Moon. That I like.
Hawk
I never liked Hawk Moon. Never liked
Eyes of Tomorrow.
Never liked that one.
Just, you didn't get
Hawk Moon Eyes of Tomorrow is.
I hated how they got rid of everything and they're slowly bringing it back from deep. Yeah. You lost everything, now you got to earn it back. That is always.
Well, what I was going to say so that we don't skip talking about WandaVision is, Lupo, what are your first impressions, final thoughts?
My thoughts... I don't like saying this, is that I don't feel an urgency to play. I will say that. I logged in on Tuesday, day one, because it's just always what I do.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday, I was like, you know what? I don't have to play Destiny today. Yeah. I don't have to do it. So I didn't. I played Genshin Impact yesterday instead. So good and bad thing. Both a good and bad thing, because like I want to play more. I want to feel the need to play more. But at the same time, it's great to not have to play more, because then I can play other games.
Sure.
Dragon Age.
But that is my initial impressions of this season. Love the story. I love where the story is going, and I think that's going to get better this season. Love the Crow as a character. I really do. But just I don't feel an urgency to play right now.
Yeah, I fairly similar. I have a very strange like playing relationship with Destiny. I could log in every single day and be content, regardless of how I'm feeling about the content. That's weird to use content and content in the same sentence. So for me, I'm very easily like...
sated.
Yes. The
it's your, it's your main. It's your game. Yeah.
I kind of hate that it's my game, and I say that a lot and people laugh at me. Like, I hate it. But mostly because I'm over multiplayer games. Like I've said in previous podcasts, I'd really like to go back to just like really focusing on single player stuff. But my only other impression, aside from what Lupo has said, because I feel similarly, even though I do log in every day, is I feel the hammer is a little too complicated. Like, there's a lot going on in that subscreen. I don't really care about it that much. I'm over this, like, charging thing. Like, this mechanic has now been, like, in, like...
Two seasons, yeah.
Plus, like, with the chalice was the same kind of thing. Like, I'm kind of over that mechanic. But the Battlegrounds I really think is fun, and... you know, I'll log in every day for some period of time and enjoy it. And also, while Lupo loves the Crow, I love you, Crow. What do you think?
I now have to compete with another Crow in the tower. I'll say that.
He's in hell.
At least I can show my face in the tower, though.
Fair.
Yeah.
Which was, I thought was actually kind of funny. Tiny. He actually has a funny comment. I don't know if you picked up on it, that like when he goes to the tower and you're in the cut, or it's not cut scene, but like in the conversation with him and Osiris, he makes a comment on like that he's going to be doing some more missions with you guys. And he's like, I'm starting to get the feeling that the people in the tower like me. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, if you only knew.
Oh, boy.
If you only knew.
Oh, yeah. Honey.
Yeah, so it was like, oh, it was heart. One of those perfect one of those moments, like, oh honey, yeah. Oh dear.
Yeah, we know that Mjolnir Gaming, our community, has kind of like a love-hate relationship with Destiny, and that's totally okay. But a lot of us do play it regularly, and you know, when there's new content, I think it's important that we talk about it, because there's enough people who enjoy it and enough people who don't, and it makes like, for good conversation.
I'll never really not play it. The
story.
Yeah.
I'll never not play it. I just feel like we need to be critical without being you know,
without letting Neil talk too much about it.
Sure.
I've been so good
like I don't know, I don't want to say things about Mule's opinion without like dismissing it, because I appreciate his opinion and I know why he doesn't play, and I completely agree with his reasons for not
100%.
Playing
100%.
It's just there's too much to play to even argue with people right now.
Right.
There's so much quality on the market. It's hard to get anybody to play. Like, I don't make game suggestions to people anymore, because it's tough. It's hard. There's a lot to play.
Play what you like. Don't play what you like. We can move on now. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, was, I think we've covered this Destiny now.
Destiny Trio brought to you by Mulehorn Gaming. Signing out.
I did good. I wasn't a negative Nancy. I did good there.
So good.
So guys,
but like I think Mule, for you, like for you, Mule, like don't feel the need to play. Just play when you want to, like when you have that need to play. Like don't feel like you have to force yourself to play, because you know that there's so many other things that you enjoy playing more. Just like and I think like that's what, like you feel that you're taking yourself away from the things you want to play. That when you play Destiny and you're not happy, that's when you get pissed off. And I don't, I'm going to keep you away from Destiny. As your friend, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, Mule, play the things you want to play. Don't play Destiny because we're all playing it. We're enjoying it. Just because we're enjoying it doesn't mean you're going to. It's two different things.
That's funny because that's what my wife tells me. She's like, why do you play that game? You're always mad when you do. And I was like, you know, you got a point. You got a point. So, so guys, moving on.
I do think one more thing. When cross-play comes, that I might actually play a little more.
You gotta dedicate 8 hours one day, and we're gonna run you through every single Destiny 2 raid thing available.
One raid at that point?
There's five.
There'll be like three.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There'll be like three. They're gonna take two out, but they'll add one, and then
two Destiny 1 raids and a new one.
It'll be four.
I will say that my oldest is playing Destiny on my OG Xbox, and if we do get crossplay, when we do, I'll probably jump in a little bit just to play with him because he's loves it. He really enjoys it, you know, because it's cool guns and supers and things like that.
I do want to finish a raid in Destiny 2 because I have not done that yet.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna
we came close a few times before in year one.
We can run all three raids in about hour 45.
All right, once we get crossplay, if you guys want to jump back on Xbox.
the current raid right now we can run in about 30. 40 minutes, and that's goofing around.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right on.
And what's the third encounter really? I don't know.
So
makes us go.
Well, they fixed the rubber banding on his health bar.
I know.
WandaVision. All right, guys. Where do you think we're gonna go? We had a little Mule tinfoil hat at the beginning of the podcast about Cap screwing things up. Loki, who knows what he's doing? The multiverse. We saw in the promo, it looked like she actually recreated the Infinity Stone. Or something like crazy, dude.
Infinity Stone.
Yeah. Like,
so I haven't actually watched it. I have not been watching it.
The Mind Stone?
Yeah, it's an Infinity Stone.
It is an Infinity Stone.
It is a Infinity Stone. You said the Infinity Stone. I'm just correcting.
Yeah. Semantics.
Yeah, you're talking about the Mind Stone.
Yeah. I mean, it's Vision. But you see her.
You were saying the Infinity Stone, like it's the Infinity Stone.
Like the one that Vision had.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never mind.
The Infinity Stone.
It's over his head. He doesn't have enough hair to catch it.
I don't know what you're getting hung up on, but everyone knows the Infinity Stone from Vision. So you see her like recreate it and or at least something in the previews. And what do you think that means? Do you think she has the ability to do that? Or like, this is crazy, dude. Like, how did he come back to life? I think she may have recreated him somehow, reanimated him. What's interesting is the twins were not affected by her magic.
Yeah. So. I have seen some things from like the comics that they're from. And what they are in the comics. So I'm interested to see if they go off of that or if they go off of something completely different.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get into it because I don't want it to be spoilery if it is, because it could be very interesting if it is true or if they decide to go a different route.
Just go in it, man. We might as well just do it.
From what I know, for the little bit that I saw, it was actually like an interview with her from years ago, like when she was talking, she actually had a conversation, like an interview of wanting to do like her own show.
Yeah.
And they were going over some like of the comics that it pulled from, like the House of M and stuff. And apparently the twins are shards of some evil demon and they have like morphed into children. I don't understand it completely. It just like, I want to say it's the demon that Doctor Strange fights in the first movie.
Yeah.
The name sounded familiar when they said it.
It's not Dharmamu.
Yeah. No, it's not Dharmamu.
They're saying Mephisto.
Mephisto. Okay, yeah. that makes more. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Like it's shards of Mephisto. So who knows if they're going to go off that? There's some other things that are pretty cool. Like, are we going to get into the House of M stuff? I don't know a whole lot about it. There's also been like some really cool Easter eggs that have been in the show. I'm sure you guys have picked up on some of them.
Yeah.
For example, the first time that the sword agent meets the FBI agent outside of town, he has a thing where he like does a little magic trick, flicks the card.
Yeah.
And that's actually from Ant-Man.
Yep. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. I saw someone like pull that. I was like, oh, I didn't pick up on that. That's one of the few that I didn't get.
Yeah.
But boy, it's getting crazy. And I don't want to talk about spoilers because actually Lupo is actually watching it now. And I want him to be surprised.
You know I don't care about that stuff.
I don't know. I'm
two episodes in, and from like what I'm gathering, she's in her own mental universe.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's kind like of.
Her own little world. So anything is possible when it's in your mind.
Yeah. Well, she's like actually creating like a world. So
yeah, it's not necessarily a world, just like a
pocket universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in theory, like you're talking about like recreating the stones, if she's in her mind, like she can do whatever she wants.
Well, we're seeing like
she's not in her mind.
Power. She's not.
She's like showing that she basically is on the level of like Captain Marvel with power, that at least in the films. And that you're seeing that like she's radiating radiation that was only seen with like the Infinity Stones, like very, very high levels. So it's like she is like tapping into her full potential. Because really, like like I said, we've been rewatching some of the Marvel films, and in Civil War, she is like hesitant with everything. She's kind of like, I don't know how to do that. And Cap's kind of encouraging her, like, you're just a kid, but hey, you're learning. Come on, you're learning. You know, he even says that to Tony when he locks her up. He's like, dude, she's a kid. You know, but he's like, she's powerful. Like, you know. So I think like she's starting to tap into her full potential, and we're starting to see a little bit of that. Like, oh crap, she can basically, like, they even said in the TV show, like, she was gonna kill Thanos if he didn't say, rain down fire. Like she was the only one that could take him out, and she was gonna do it. And so I think like we're getting to see like that bigger universe of what she can do. It's going to be really interesting because there's some Easter eggs and people saying that there could be an introduction to the Fantastic Four. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I mean, with what happened at the end of this last episode, we finally got it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a throwaway line. I don't remember if it was the last one or the one before, where it's the aerospace engineer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of people are thinking that could be Reed Richards.
And if you look on the, I caught this once. If you look on the little board that has all the writings, because Marvel likes to do this. They like to throw like something in your face that you don't see, but it's there. There was a four that was drawn like a Fantastic Four. And I was just like, ooh, okay.
I mean, they're owned by Disney. Disney has done the 401 thing in every Pixar film.
Yeah.
They love to throw Easter egg little things like that in.
Yeah.
That you don't see.
Where do you think this is going, guys? I want to get y'all's final thoughts before we wrap this up. What do you think is going?
I have no thoughts. I'm getting there still.
It's definitely going multiverse. I mean, we know that because Doctor Strange's multiverse madness.
You think
so? And all the stuff we've heard about Spider-Man. So, and I believe this one leads right into Spider-Man 3 or Doctor Strange. I forget exactly.
What if Spider-Man shows up and is like, hey, pizza time?
Oh.
Oh. Do you think
and
we'll
it's
see
Tobey
Strange?
Maguire?
Yeah, get Toby come back. And what do you think we'll see Strange?
No, dude, Tobey Maguire is the worst, man.
I don't know if we'll see Strange. Like, yes, he's probably one of the best ones that could help with the situation right now. But I feel like the way they're taking it, that Vision is going to be kind of the savior.
Yeah.
Of the situation.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's going to be, I feel like it's going to be a combination of Vision and the Sword Agent.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if they
keep forgetting her name.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they have some sort of like end credit scene that leads into whatever's next. You know, maybe just one quick appearance, maybe of Doctor Strange at the very end.
It's like him coming in and saying, look, I got to fix all this mess now. You know.
Something
is this, this planned beyond like the one season, or is this just one and done? Because like you know, Hero's talking about Phase 4, you know, which is the next set of stuff.
Yeah, and I know a lot of some of these Star Wars shows are going to be one and done, like the Ahsoka one. So it wouldn't surprise me if WandaVision is a one and done. I don't know about Falcon and Winter Soldier, which that trailer was pretty awesome during the Super Bowl. So I could see this being, as it is now, one season. Maybe they'll do some other, you know, one-off season with her later in another phase, but my guess is one season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I'm gonna say it. Lupo, you can pull your ears. Anyone in chat, this is spoiler warning for last episode. We got X-Men in... Yeah. The Marvel series.
Yep. That's the MCU. One I knew about. That's the spoiler I knew.
We have X-Men officially.
Yeah.
I don't care like if it's her brother or not. It is the X-Men version of
Quicksilver.
Yeah. Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Maybe WandaVision is where Jennifer Lawrence has been hiding. That would be dope.
Ooh. Yeah. It's gonna be interesting, guys. I can't wait to see what the episode will be like tomorrow. So any closing thoughts as we wrap up the podcast tonight? Anything you just want to get off your chest other than Mule, go play Destiny. I'm just joking.
Mule, don't play Destiny. I honestly wholeheartedly like do feel that way, that you shouldn't just play the things that you're loving, man.
Yeah, people ask me, hey, I know you play a lot of Destiny. Should I play it? I'm like, I don't know. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, don't play it, man. It's okay. Yeah.
I say that to every person I work with. Like when people say like, oh, what have you been doing for the last 5 years since we saw you? I was like, you know, I'm a partner content creator with, you know, was formerly Microsoft and now Facebook, and I play a whole shit ton of Destiny, which I did before. It's nothing new for me. But they're like, oh, is it a good game? I was like, play it, try it, it's free.
Yeah.
And if you like it, buy more content. That's it's like a la carte now. You can basically buy what you want to play.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's totally right. I totally agree. I'm laughing at my chat.
But closing thought for me, Outriders is actually less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
Woo.
So
I guess only thing that I wanted to say, and I forgot to say it at the beginning of the show for what we've been doing, I've started streaming.
Yeah,
and
that's
I'm
right.
I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Yay.
I think I'm going to kind of take it more into the... Or a little bit heavier into the RPG-esque, like MMO style things, like Genshin Impact, like PSO2. At least that kind of what I'm gonna try. So, if you got any questions, stop by. If I don't know, I will try and figure them out. I enjoy this stuff. Like I love making builds on characters. Underdog and I were having a good conversation about it. He's like, "You're so much better on this stuff than me. Like you could do stuff with this." I'm like, okay, I'll try it.
Dog is in his menu for like 7 years every time.
He exactly. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you can hear this, dog. Love you, man.
Yeah. All right, guys. Right on. That's awesome, man. Yeah, so go check out Scarecrow if you guys are looking for another great streamer. And guys, if you like this podcast, then make sure you visit newhomegaming.com about page to find more great content creators there. And if you're looking for some real swag, we've got a store right on the homepage. So you can pick up some swag. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up!
Blow it up!
Blow it up!
Bang, boom, boom.
Explosions. Bad booms. I should go.